And now, death, please come. Partial ramble and a partial memories of Dad and stay with them. And our family and our brothers and my sisters, we've been coming here for so long with Dad. And today is different. You know, we're all here with something better for Dad. One of the things that Dad would say always. When teachable moments came up, after emphasizing a lesson and experience, is this is what it means to be attacked. And what that meant was loving your family and telling the truth and never harming anybody and being purposeful and staying true to who you are. And so Saul and Tadger, he to me had a lot of soul and a lot of earth, a lot of passion, tenacity and purpose, intention and heart and love and emphasized all the humor in my opinion. He kind of lived his life a little bit like a musician that he thought he was, and sort of moment by moment, note by note. And he's always adjusting to the situation, trying to fuse it with optimism and lessons. And, but he always had a plan. What did he give him a name? He always had a plan. But when he was spontaneous, he would be like, you know, infusing embellishments in stories that nobody ever heard before. writing love limericks to Mary across the table on napkins, or mumbling under his breath while he shit somebody's hand who of course his name he forgot. Some of that got passed on, I think. And his brother, Uncle Dave and Dad were really involved in the boys' club and teaching the present kids in the name of Pat's and all of them. And he was my coach, my brother's coach. And that's the story I thought I'd tell. He's good at one time. He showed up at the new administration meeting and he was in the community. And some of these emphasis, you know, coaches over the years had already fucked the kids. So he gave him all of those, and he left those, and he went out, and he, I think he was the athletic supply, and he bought some pinstripe uniforms and put catcher company on the back one. and there was a lot of delight when he gave them to the fellas at the practice, and he took delight in that, but he had a lot more delight when he saw those trophies. And that somewhat encompasses you know, what he was about, but he really did love that, and not to mention we were so enthusiastic. Everybody played well, and we did a lot. We did really well that year, so he was proud of that. He kind of had a lot of style, his own kind of style. He at one point he was driving a brown Cadillac with brown interior leather. And he had mustache and sideburns, you know, it was kind of turns in that decade. And he kind of looked like some TV writer's protagonist, you know. He kind of, I think Telly Savalas would have kind of done it. And he always coach you up and teach you up and try to connect with you somehow by passing on a message. And I hope you guys know him that way. But he also listened to his guiding message. And we could always get something done phrases that come to mind, and I was trying to go over was, I hope you can hear his voice with some of these, but he would say things like, you know, apply yourself. Focus. No jeans. No cutouts. Tuck your shirt in. Sit up at the table. And he did all that. And he always expects you to come to the dinner table and participate in the discussion and exchange. And it was a good. Gillis was also was known as sometimes taking advantage. One of those stories might be he was going to use a seat from the basketball. He took the ball and he jumped up over his defender. I think it was Alan Nance. And he used his hand to push himself up off of Nance's back. And he kind of push-dunked the ball in, which was kind of strange because he was only 5'10". And I don't think it was really the pride that he had in dunking the ball over Nance, even though some might see it that way. I think it was just the Brad and I saw it. And we were at the J a lot, and that was because of him. So we learned how to compete, how to play, how to, you know, go by the rules and that stuff. Another word that comes up for Dan, you've heard already, is purpose. And one of his quotes was, when you meet somebody, look them directly in the eye and shake their hand for them. And that was coming like even before our armistice. And I hope we've done that through honesty, but he demanded that. His purpose also was he started his own business, as you always said, and made way his career. Maybe not so much based on his education, but based on his will and his firm vision. And he wanted everybody in his orbit, especially his family, to know that you can achieve anything you want. And he said, put your mind to it. I think he passed that on really well. Again, he wanted you to apply yourself and apply your passion wide. So I hope you guys saw that. One of the few downsides of knowing your purpose in life that I think came up was there are a lot of naysayers who say, yeah, I can't do that. And he always taught us that that's a tool to try hard and prove somebody wrong about what you know you're going to do. And another word that came up for me when I was thinking about that was heart. He had a lot of heart. And one of the quotes one of my brothers came up with was, he was maybe hard to get to know, but he was kind of impossible to forget. I think he started out with everybody in one starting place of treating them nice and with kindness and giving them a chance to respond in the same way. And I think he didn't appreciate people who had mistreated kindness or didn't believe in, that and had other ways. But he stayed optimistic. And he always, I think, helped people who maybe were unkind or didn't know or had pessimism. Some of them to get jobs, some of them insights, advice. Some to learn how to be courageous, like he, I think he was. But there was one rule in his life, and the rabbi and Mary got to talk a lot about this lately, and that was, there's no place for pessimism or negativity. And in the situation that he last ended up in, he was, I think, pretty eternally optimistic. And he practiced it, and he preached it, and it meant a lot to all of us. And the story to maybe exemplify that is maybe three days before he passed, Greg and I were in the room, and he said to me, I want you to do something for him, what he called an assignment. And he wasn't eating much, he wasn't feeling well, and he said, I want you to go out, and my current doctor is going to retire, and I want you to go and find a resident, who's a specialist, and go and see what you can find. And so, you know, he had intention of living even at the end, and he had a purpose and plan. He was best, not best. He always chose life. That was always his choice. And so I just appreciate him making people laugh. He made us laugh a lot. I think he preferred laughter to anything else. And so I asked you guys to share all those stories where he made you laugh and he made you laugh and any of us as soon as possible when it comes to you. Body and spirit. But I think he preferred to go positive. So last night, Mary and Carl and I pretty much were all alone with laughter telling stories about things that maybe each of us had never heard from each other before, and I know there's one that was out there, and I think that's kind of what I hope we can do more of today, because he's a funny guy, he did some funny stuff, he did some funny ways about it, and he was a great guy to replace the laughter with some of the things we had with the piece he did. So I'm kind of like this for you guys, I hope. Thank you.